Welcome to the Three Kings Podcast, the one place where real men have real conversations, but from a kingdom point of view. With your hosts, Rob B-Free Badgett, Will Big Steel Wells, and Rob Resurrect Connolly. Sit back, tune in, and let the King speak.
Kings Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Rob B.
What's up? Rob Connolly.
What's up? William Wells.
We are back for another edition of Great Lives Here.
Why are you overpronouncing your words?
Am I?
I don't understand that.
I was about to say all Black Lives Matter.
All Black Lives Matter.
Yes.
There we go. I like that. Hashtag it. All Black Lives Matter.
All Black Lives.
I wish I said that one Sunday.
I like it.
You wish you said that on Sunday?
Yes.
Yeah, he missed the mark though.
It came out wrong.
What did you say?
Didn't happen.
I was basically talking about all Black Lives, but I was about to talk about Breonna Taylor, and I was just trying to answer a question that nobody asked me, which is, why are we talking about Breonna Taylor when we could talk about young Black girls who died in our city? So I wanted to say, yeah, well, all Black Lives Matter, but we're going to highlight this one because it affected everybody in the nation. That's not how it came out.
Can I ask you a question?
No.
As a preacher, do you feel like now in this climate, because people are so sensitive or so critical, that you have to like go the extra mile to seem as though you're accommodating more people than you typically would?
No, all my answers are going to be being led by the Holy Spirit. There's sometimes, regardless of what you say, it's going to hurt. So if you have to say it, you have to say it. But don't say it just for shock value's sake, or say it because you feel like you bring the authority on something. You know, you have to be led by the Spirit on what to say.
What about you? You say pretty much anything. You say pretty much anything.
Not pretty much anything.
You say anything.
I don't say anything.
Pretty much. You say anything.
I don't say anything.
Speaking about his past or now, because he's grown a lot.
Yeah. I know how to control myself, and I know when is the right time to say certain things and when it's not.
You do?
That's why I'm successful in doing what I do.
Do you think the next time you preach, though, it will not be bashing Christians?
I don't know. If Christians did their job, I wouldn't have to bash them.
But about...
That's you, Christian.
So, listen.
Yes.
One of our most powerful episodes was Sex, Lies, and Lotion.
It was? Right. The most powerful?
Well, the most downloads.
Most responded.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's true.
The most downloads, the most responses.
It was. Right. Even people at the gym talked to me about that episode.
Really?
And I was surprised they listened.
That's...
Like, do you tell lies when you're having sex with lotion? You're all lying to yourself.
Gross.
All right. So this is clip. Uh-huh. Pastor Rob, why don't you intro the clip before I play it?
So there's a clip of... I'm sure a lot of people have seen it because this clip went viral. What's the name of the couple again?
Duvall and... I forget his wife's name.
So
Kay.
Devon and Kay. Okay. So,
from the Dead A podcast.
So this couple was speaking about the importance of marriage, or the lack of importance of marriage, and how it has an effect on sex between a couple. So this video went viral because a lot of people had opinions on it, or probably a lot of people agree with either one of them. You know, because I think a lot of women take the wife's point of view and a lot of guys take the men's point of view. But I felt like this was something we should discuss as well from a Christian point of view.
From a Christian point of view, but also from a man point of view.
Yeah, yeah.
A man. I'm going to play a little bit of the clip in case you have not heard it. I believe it's a clean clip.
To have sex with anybody else.
Right.
So these urges that come, I have to share them with the one person I decide to spend the rest of my life with.
Right.
So that brings me back to my soundbite.
Okay.
Right? I don't understand, and this is what we can discuss, as a woman, because I don't want to say it's a man versus woman thing, but a lot of women do complain, oh, my husband's always on me. Why is he always on me? If sex is going to be a chore for you that you don't really want to do, why do women constantly push monogamy on men. If you know that you don't want to have to deal with him all the time just wanting you, why do you push monogamy on men?
Well, who's to say I pushed anything on anybody?
So we'll stop there, right? Because she gave kind of a breakdown of just the different phases.
You should let it play.
Okay. You want me to let it play? Because she talked more about her personally.
Okay. You know what I mean?
You're right. She said, you know, more about her personally. She talked about how, you know, she was trying to find herself and discover herself and then after kids and all this other stuff. But the general question was, you know, why do women push monogamy into, you know, men, persuade men they're going to get married? And then once they're married, it's like the sex part for them is like, look, man, I'm not, you know, I'm not interested, or I don't have time, or I have a headache, or I'm sleepy, or the kids, right? And I thought it was really interesting, you know, points. I don't think that it was just a carnal thing. I think that this is something that a lot of married couples have to deal with. And like the social media groups that I was a part of, which was, you know, because a lot of my ministry is connected to singles. Singles have this idea that you're just going to be bumping 7 days a week all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, because all the commentary was, well, that won't be me. It ain't ever going to be no chore. No, it ain't. If it's a chore, then we ain't in love like that. And the list just went on. And I was like, man, people are misled. But, you know, you guys have been married longer than I have, right? What is your takeaway, your thoughts about some of what he said?
I think it's bogus. My wife is extremely passionate. And if she could, she'd have sex every night.
7 days a week.
7 days a week.
Why doesn't she?
Because I always fall asleep because I'm tired and I like my games. I go to bed at 9 on the dot. I have a schedule that I, and a routine that I've been following since we've been married. But if I was up late.
So you are the chore.
Yeah, I am. Not her. She wants it all the time. She loves being up on me all the time, babe. Not me. I'm just trying to go to sleep so I can go to the gym in the morning. Work on my stuff.
He's a woman.
That's just generalize and say, oh, I'm joking. No, it's not all men and all women.
I think that's a good point.
Do you find it more common among men than you do of women?
You find it more common.
Yeah, you find it more common. Correct. Yes.
Yeah. But
I'm the exception to the rule, obviously, because I love my games.
So your wife wants you every day of the week.
Every day.
And you're like, you know what, babe?
A few times, okay, but I need to go to sleep.
What about you? What is your thought process on? Because there's a couple different things that I thought, not just the sexual part, but.
Sure, of course.
Well, first, I want to give a shout out to Charles Irvin, who tagged me in this video, who just put this, highlighted me on this issue. And also another shout out to Yolanda Lewis.
She tagged you too?
No, but she helped me write my book, which I feel like part of my answer you could find in the book that I wrote.
Plug. Here goes the plug.
No, yep. I'm just saying.
Go ahead, plug the book.
I'm still waiting for the answer. Right?
Plug it.
He's plugging his book.
Plug the book.
Yeah, it's in the book. So anyway.
What's the name of the book?
Why?
Because you done set it all up.
You talked about it, so you might as well finish it.
Dating plus God equals questions.
There you go.
There you go. So, no, I said I want to shout out because when I was writing the book and I had a section there called The Ministry of Sex, she had did some study on sex herself that was connected to her own testimony. So she did a lot of research. So I think I can't say nobody because I think there are a number of Christians who listen to our podcast. But I think largely when people have this kind of question, they don't want to talk about the spiritual implications of it. Mm. They don't want to talk about God being a part of their sex life.
They just
want to talk about, I don't know God, but what I do know is that I get horny. So I'm going to deal with the physical aspect. I'm going to deal with how I feel. I'm not going to deal with God. I would say that God largely affects our sex lives.
Wow.
And if we don't add God into it, we will then have a sex life that that doesn't have purpose. Then we'll try to find a purpose. And your purpose could end up in, I like to get prostitutes. Purpose could be in, I just like to sleep around and have one night stands.
Right.
You will find your own purpose and then you will be confused and end up in a relationship like the two of them and try to make sense of what God gave you and what you didn't know what to do with.
Yeah, I think that's important. I think what you said is also important. As Christians, we have a tendency to separate God for our intimacy, especially as married couples do who happen to be Christians. And I think when you, what I know as a Christian married couple, that if you incorporate your love of Christ and your relationship in God and your relationship, it just enhances the intimacy between you and your spouse. So I definitely agree with that.
I think a couple of things. I think that communication is very important.
Absolutely.
I think there's definitely a big difference between lust and love, right?
There is.
A lot of people who are in, you know, they're having sex before they get married. Mm-hmm. That is lust driven. You can love the person, right? Okay. But you're still lust driven, driving the relationship. And the problem that I find so often is that you carry that mindset over into the marriage and think that this is exactly what this is going to be. And that's not the case, right?
Okay.
I think what you'll find out is the person that you date is not the person that you're going to marry, in the sense that they are now a wife. That's not your girlfriend anymore. You treat your girlfriend a certain way. Your wife is somebody who's different. I'm not saying anything profound. It's your girlfriend then becomes your wife.
So,
what don't you understand about that?
I understand. I agree with what you said. I'm saying, how do you explain?
Dudes treat their wives like their girlfriends.
How do you explain to somebody who's new in Christ the difference in how to separate lust from love, because they can believe that is one and the same.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. So, a part of that,
how you help them to differ,
a part of that is this is now your wife, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. The basics of it is what you have now as a wife is not what you had as a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So the relationship in of itself has changed.
Right.
Right. So when, let's break it down to nuts and bolts. When it was just your girl, you didn't have to do a whole lot of pouring into that relationship.
Right.
You could just, hey, pop in, pop out,
that's it.
Bang, and then that's it. True. There's no level of real commitment or anything that you have to fuel into that relationship.
Correct.
That's lust. Why? Because lust takes, but love gives.
Correct.
So in that situation, it's just a take.
Right.
I'm getting mine, you're getting yours.
You
can call it whatever you think that you're doing, but it's still that, because I don't have to give a lot to you for this to keep going.
Very
right.
True.
So
how does that connect to this issue here?
So I think, like him, their marriage, let's use them for example.
Okay.
They started off dating. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think he said it at some point when they were dating, it was.
So these two on the clip
they're married. Right. Yeah. They've been married for like 10 or so years.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's this young athlete doing his thing.
Oh yeah.
His wife is, you know, all of that.
Sure,
but then
sure,
what happens is that kids came in. They have three kids now.
Oh, wow.
She talked about her postpartum happening, you know, after each kid.
Yeah.
And so she's like, dude, I kind of lost myself in that. So you just feeling like, oh, you trying to be on me. But I'm like, I can't breathe. And I think he just carried over the thought process of, look, you knew how we got down before we got married.
Mm-hmm.
So why has any of that changed? But the relationship has to change, right? And so even speaking for myself, like, I had, let's just say a free lifestyle.
Mm.
I was free.
That's a good way
free.
To put it.
Be free.
I had a free lifestyle.
That's a good way to
put it. Right?
You
and
are
so
a prostitute. Sure.
Whoa, nobody paid me for that, okay?
That's true.
So I've had to learn, like, yo, your wife is not one of them.
Yes.
That's
a good point.
You have to build this thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
She's not just open sesame and you don't have to talk to her.
Right.
Or you don't have to, you know, caress her internally.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like, nah, dude, there's a shift.
Mm-hmm.
And so the part that I caught on the clip is like, dude, every married guy with some sense knows, like, no, it doesn't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta fuel that thing.
Sure.
It, you know, you're telling me all the time, like, look, no, it's not open sesame. And you just get your goodies and you're good.
And see, you said there's a difference between love and lust.
Mm-hmm.
See, and you can't use the phrase lust if you're not talking about the spiritual aspect.
Right.
Because somebody else that doesn't have that spiritual aspect in their worldview, they're like, oh no, this is not lust. This is how I'm made. I should be able to have sex all the time with multiple women to deal with my needs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a lust issue. This is just a simple need, and you should simply be able to comply to it. And if you can't, you should be okay with me going and get it from somebody else.
Right.
So when you say lust, now you're acknowledging something that's different from the will of God.
Right.
So you have to address, so then if you're going to have that conversation, don't just cut it short there.
Yeah.
Say, then why did God give a man a sex drive like that?
Why did God give a man a sex drive like that?
So when I was exploring it, I was saying that...
Because you said something, Yolanda Lewis said something too.
Yeah, so, you know, I went back and forth with Yolanda on this because my take was that men have a greater sex drive than women. And her take from the study, and she can speak on it herself, was saying that, basically men and women have the same amount of sex drive. Whatever the case may be, what we see is that men are usually ones complaining about always wanting it more than we see women always complaining that they want it.
Like this guy.
Right? So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, so what I was looking at was, imagine, and I want guys to think about this, imagine if you never wanted to be intimate with your wife. Or not even go with wife. Let's say when you're courting somebody. If you never desire in the future, if you to marry that person, that you want to be intimate with them, just imagine how the conversations would go. And the world would take it as, society would take it as, oh, that's negative. You can't say that, you know, sex would drive you. First of all, why are you saying sex is a bad thing?
Yeah.
If God created sex, it serves a purpose. Even the desire to want to do it serves a purpose. It does handle a lot of issues.
You said the world says sex is a bad thing.
No, if you want to be intimate with somebody, that's the wrong reason for wanting to be with somebody.
That shouldn't be your motive, is what he's saying.
It shouldn't be your only motive, but it is okay if it's part of your motives. It's okay if it's part of the. You think anybody says like, man, I can't wait to marry that ugly person? No, you are attracted to that person, and you want to be intimate.
I can't wait to get married and be celibate. It's a ridiculous notion.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Come on now.
Do you think, though, let me ask you this. Do you think, and this is definitely for the women listeners, do you think men do things in the relationship just so they can get sex in return?
I just don't want women here to answer that question for you.
What? Answer the question.
I don't know. Am I a female? I'm not a woman.
I'm asking you, do you think men do things just so they can get sex out of the relationship?
Sure.
Or out of the moment?
Well, see, I would
men ask you and to... women do things to get sex. Absolutely.
But I would ask you to clarify that question.
So, have you... Like, okay, so let me break it down.
If you say a relationship where you would do things because all you want out of this relationship is only sex.
No, not all. But like, if it's...
There's
if
sometimes...
It's, right, like...
Then I would say, why is that bad?
I'm asking you, is that... So that's not bad. If you say, you know what? My motive in cleaning this kitchen today...
Is to get...
Is...
Oral sex. Okay. What's wrong with that, though? I agree with Rob. Like, what's the problem?
What's the problem with it? What's wrong with that? I agree with Rob. What's the problem?
I don't see
what's the problem with that.
Is that taking? Is that selfish?
No, I don't think it's a problem. I think what happens is that I think society cheapens that.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, right. I understand that.
Absolutely.
And we as Christian men have to deal with society cheapening it.
Very
like,
true.
Oh, that's all you want? No, that's not all I want. But I happen to be deeply in love with you, and it's just I'd rather sit on the couch right now and watch something. But I'm going to do something that you wanted me to do
because I'm in the
mood. I want to be. Yeah, it's like,
right?
You know, like why did I buy flowers on Valentine's Day?
Yeah,
because I just felt the need to buy. No, there was a reason. Yeah. I wanted to do something nice.
I say that because
it's okay to get a result out of that.
I say that because I could tell within the video clip in her mindset, she's like, dude.
Oh.
I didn't just marry you just for sex,
right?
So it's not a question of, am I pushing monogamy, right? Because women, by and large, they're thinking, listen, this is not just the physical part, right?
Absolutely.
They're more emotionally wired, most of them, emotionally wired than we are. So the average woman saw the clip and was like, well, if the only reason we're trying to get married is for sex, then I don't want you anyways, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think they see the flip side is that dudes... They're thinking, yes, I want sex to be a part of this.
Sure.
And it's at the top of my list of, you know, and I think that is the difference between the men and the women. She said that their drives are different. But sometimes I think the they don't seem to, it's totally the same.
Sometimes like, women have more of a sex drive than men.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, in your case, we got that. In my case,
definitely.
We got that. You know what I mean? So I'm just trying to give.
I think I'll go with this guy. I don't think he, unless he's a professing Christian.
Yeah.
I don't think he understands why his sex drive the way it is.
Do you think most dudes do, though?
I don't think they do.
I don't think so either.
No.
If they do, it would bring them to a greater understanding.
Most men just think that we're born with this innate need to have sex with every female that we see, but they don't really understand why we have sex or the importance of sex or the
let's talk about that because I think I'm gonna use myself as an example.
Yes, use yourself, please.
Because that's the best example. Yes, right.
Exactly.
When I was single, the second time, there was a time. There was like maybe the first year, almost a year or so. Like my body was recovering from trauma.
Okay.
And there was no physical response. There was no attraction to women at all, like or men. Just so we have to clarify that.
How about animals?
Right. Nothing. Right. It was straight line Johnny. Right.
Okay.
And because my body's recovering from trauma. Right. So that connects to the why.
What is the trauma for people who may not?
I was divorced. I went through a divorce, and in that relationship, though, there was a lot of sexually traumatic events that took place that impacted my thought process.
Gotcha. Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So our erections are connected to our thought life and our adrenaline and all that other stuff. Right. True. So for me, it just was not happening until I started to get healthy. And I remember different females around, they was just like, oh, well, we're cool, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, we can't just be cool because the part of me that is now awakened,
there you go,
it's going to awake.
Absolutely.
And if this relationship, friendship is fueling that, there's going to be a response.
Yeah.
And I think that it's a natural response, but we're not told, no, you have to manage that, right? Sure. If you're not married, you have to tame that, right? But that doesn't mean it disappears when I go into my committed covenant relationship.
Correct.
Those same things are still there. So I don't think the dudes know, like, nah, one, something spiritual's happening, something physical's happening, and something mental's happening. And they don't know what to do with that.
Right.
So they just, you're just everywhere. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's why the scripture talked about being self-controlled.
Literally everywhere.
Right. They don't understand. I didn't understand. I'm like, something, why am I healthily? And it's just like the wind blows. Yeah. I didn't understand it.
Mm.
But I don't think that, I think sometimes women struggle with understanding that part as well. Like, nah, for most men, it's not a want, it's a need.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
How is it a need? How has it become a need? And you dived into the whole spiritual part.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd like to know more about
that. Yes, relationship man, tell us.
He wrote a book about it.
Dating
plus God equals questions.
Talk about it.
So
he didn't do a whole lot of talk on the sex part in the book, though.
Yeah. So I was saying that I connected the need for a man's sex drive to the Great Commission.
Okay.
Saying that God had called us to baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? So we are called to go out and to tell people about Jesus and hope that people will give their life to Christ.
To make disciples.
So if we're making disciples, right? What I believe that the Lord was showing me, and, you know, he used my own life experience, was showing me that the first time you have an opportunity, I'm going to say the first time, but you have a great opportunity to make a disciple from your own loins. Like, you can create a disciple in your own house.
I've never heard that
with your family. So if your job is to raise your children like Christians, and, you know,
you're talking fruitful and multiplying?
Yeah. Okay. That's why I'm connecting those two, because
be fruitful and multiply.
You had a command early on to be fruitful and multiply, right?
Correct.
When that command was given to be fruitful and multiplying, sin did not happen yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a mindset of, oh, let's bring people back to Jesus. Everybody was already connected to God.
Yep.
It was two people. They were connected to God. So now just recreate people who are connected to God.
Mm.
Now that there's a split, now we got to go and disciple people and evangelize the people.
But obviously there's a difference because one's a lot more spiritual and relational when it comes to people outside of your own semen, obviously, that you're trying to produce.
You said more spiritual?
Yeah.
Which one's more spiritual?
Your family is your first ministry.
Right.
Right. So the focus on, if you're talking about discipleship and you want to use it in the sense of sex and reproduction, right, spiritually, I'm going to be focused more on my family than in somebody else outside of that. Right, it's obviously, the difference is going to be, there's going to be a difference.
Yeah.
When you compare you to your children or your wife and then somebody else outside of that, there's going to be a difference there.
So in both cases, what you're hoping is that, you know, both groups will give their life to God.
Right.
Right. So you have a greater influence on your children.
Mm-hmm. Right. Very true.
Than you do somebody else. So this should be also, you know, in the conversation of, you know, making, so what does God want? God mm-hmm. wants people to be with him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to see, God is so good. Like he's going to give you the tools in order to make sure that happens.
Yeah.
Even if we mess up. We messed up in the world and God provided Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens if the world continues to deal with the mess ups in the world, continue to deal with sin? God still has to make sure that people are going to be coming to him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people cannot come to him if there's no people.
Mm-hmm.
So if men did not have a sex drive like they do,
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't create people. Because when men get into conversation with women and they don't like what they hear, they leave. Now imagine if a guy's leaving and he never wants to have sex.
Right.
Look at the way that the world is going. The way the world is going is like, we don't want any kind of commitments. We don't want contracts. We don't want marriage.
Have sex
we
with
don't
anyone.
Want anything. I don't even want my phone plan to be locked down. I want the freedom to just go and do anything I want to do. I don't want commitment. So why would society just automatically be in a place where they want to make these commitments? They don't. So God has to make sure, even if you and your flesh don't want to do it, I have to make sure that this continues to happen. So here's your sex drive. So even when you have arguments, boom. Mm-hmm. Even if you make a children out of a time that you didn't want to make it, at least there's somebody that could be evangelized.
But and look how the enemy has perverted sex, right?
Right.
How you were talking about and how we all know the importance of, obviously, being fruitful, multiplying, building a legacy and stuff like that. Satan has taken sex and perverted it. So now if, as a man in a relationship, if I'm not getting something from my wife as a need, I have other outlets. I have pornography.
I was just talking about that.
This all morning. This other stuff that I can go to if I'm not being fulfilled here.
Mm-hmm.
So Satan has blatantly perverted sex because he knows its importance, and it has corrupted the minds of so many men, Christian men too, obviously, Christian women, and they have another outlet to go to if they're not getting it in the bedroom with their spouse.
You know when something gets really bad? Is when the world is really like saying the same thing that church is saying. It's just like, so my wife, she works as the program manager for one of these nonprofit programs, and one of the workshops she was doing on to her organization was on the effects of porn and how we, as we know, how it really affects the brain, how it really 100%. Interrupts relationships. That's right. How it sets this unrealistic idea in a part of your brain that's unfulfillable, right? And then even on the small side of it, where it can lead to erectile dysfunction.
Yeah.
So all of those things, and then even greater, which is like, I'm like, dang, I couldn't peek if I wanted to. The connection that it has to sex trading and sex trafficking, largely connected to porn industry.
Yeah,
so it's like, how do you even watch it in good conscience, knowing the level of abuse that's taking place? So even in that, it's like, wow, because she deals with, she, one of the grants that she oversees is people who they're trying to help get out of sex trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And these people talk about how a large part of the industry is them being kidnapped, sold into sex slavery, and then producing these movies, as a part of the porn industry.
Yeah,
right?
Snuff films.
And, say it again?
I think they're called snuff films.
Snuff films? Okay.
Yeah, they take, it's like, it's some like black market type of porn, I guess.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know if the main person who gets the stuff on, let's say, one of the websites, I don't want to promote them, because I was almost there. If that person distributes it on there, you don't know where it came from.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
You don't know. You just set up the account.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. You collect it to your debit or whatever, that's it.
Keep making
right?
money.
There's no approval. There's no counsel that you have to go through to get your video uploaded.
No proof of age.
Right.
Everything.
Right. Yeah. So that by and large, if you see the residual effects of it, it's like, wow, that's like, ooh, you know what I mean? But so it's so much bigger than a man or a female just sitting there and just trying to, you know, you're opening a real door, like a heavy door.
So, so the world doesn't have an answer for that. So from a spiritual point of view, if we look at it and say, okay, all right, it's been perverted. Well, who's doing the perverting? Well, we say we have an enemy, right?
Yeah.
Why does he pick on sex so much? Why does he pick on sex so much? It's you can't get any more intimate than sex.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think
what
if
does
you go,
God desire?
If
desire,
you go back desire. To your beginning part about discipleship, the enemy's plan has always been to stop the Great Commission. It's been always been to stop the man's the man's mission before the Great Commission, right?
The motivation.
Which is
you
why
stop what God has intended for
right. Which is why the first response God says, "Well, now you have pain and childbearing." Right. That's a direct response to an attack on the sexual intimacy part. Mm-hmm. So I was like, "Wow, that's heavy." But why do you think on? So we understand the macro, right? Mm. On a micro level, you still have Tom and Rhonda. Who are struggling, you know, she's tired, you know, she's just had kids, and he's just like, yo, babe, I'm needing it, and if I don't get it, I'm just going to go in the bathroom and rub it out, right? Like, how do you manage that? Because that's very, on a godly level, on a basic level, dudes are struggling with that basic everyday life of it.
I want to say, you know, to give a prophetic word to the men, suck it up and stop being a punk. I want to say that, but you can't say that because what you're doing is you're talking to people who we don't have a lot of fathers. So we don't have a lot of people helping us decipher how to deal with this. Mm-hmm. So we're left to deal with these issues with our wives on our own. You know, you watch these TV shows and it's like, oh man, they're talking to their fathers about issues that they got with their wives and they're getting this good counsel on TV. But what do we normally see? We normally see guys not knowing how to deal with this, so they just deal with it with their boys, who also don't have fathers. And they like, listen, if you can't get it there, go get it somewhere else.
My father didn't talk to me about jerking off, though. Like, well, he wasn't going to have that conversation.
So, I mean, you have did he ever have that? Did he ever have that conversation?
No.
But you have his father? But you have people who have fathers who don't know how to have that conversation.
They don't know how to have that conversation.
So it's not about just having a father or not a father. It's, does the father have the experience or even the intelligence
how
or
do you
ability
broach
to talk
that?
To, like, to talk to them about that.
That? I know how I do,
I
but the average
my,
dude...
I talk to my daughters about things.
I talk to my daughters about it.
I get that. You know? So but the average man...
But the average man does not have
is not
so the average man
that.
should look for the...
So here's the coaching part the coaching. Of helping them to
correct.
Do that. Also, the average dude, you know, he may... Listen, I know people who just like, yo, it happens for us once a month, and I'm miserable. And we go to church on Sundays.
so you miss out. The Bible says, right? When you're looking for God, right? Seek and you shall find.
I'm praying that my wife gives me some.
I'm not saying just praying. I'm saying seeking. You are looking for the answer. That means when you don't find it this one night, you are still trying to find this answer because you know something. When every time you might search for something, they don't come to a situation just dumb and don't know anything. They do know something. From the Christian point of view, they know I can't go and step out of my marriage.
They don't
got to
step out. They just step in the bathroom.
They know that's not... That's
or
not
they
a,
step
that's
on that laptop.
That's not a liable answer for them. So if that's not an answer for them, then I have to find out how do I have a better communication with my wife so that we have an understanding where we can come to a common ground.
Right.
This is one couple who I know, I'm thinking in particular, there was some major conditions that the wife was going through physically, right? Some major conditions, which again, you find more common. The older you get, you're going to have to fight these things. And the husband, he developed a real porn habit, you know, connected to that.
Yeah.
And granted, somebody eventually stepped out in that relationship or whatever, whatever. But I just think that there are checkpoints that people need to know or to see. Hey, here's a check mark. Here's a checkpoint. This is when, you know, before you get all the way to that, you know, and I was going to call his name out, the pastor on TV. Nope. It's like, before you get there, buddy, there were plenty of checkpoints before you got there, right?
Sure, sure.
You know what I'm saying? So I know the broad right? But dudes, on a basic level, like, yo, dude, I'm struggling.
Wait, you think I'm going too broad?
Yes, I think you're. I think you got to break it down into bite-sized pieces.
What's the bite?
What are you talking about?
How is this not a bite-sized piece? That's the process.
The basis of what Rob is saying is it comes down to communication.
You don't want to talk about the spiritual side of it.
So you have.
I didn't say that. That's not what I said.
Spiritual. You have to talk to your spouse regardless.
That's a very practical side.
But it's
not what he said.
That's what he ended with. What are you talking about?
I said you have to be able to find that common at.
Right. You slowly started to get
there. The purpose of doing that is going to be my spiritual side. If I didn't have a spiritual connection with God, I would step out on my wife.
Right.
Really?
What would keep me home?
There's a lot of people who are not saved that don't just step out on their wife.
So the dude who cheated on his wife twice.
Dude. You talk about the people who cheated. Think about it.
He's spiritual.
You think the majority of people who cheated, even the people who are spiritual, you think they are coming with their spiritual mindset?
I don't think communication is spiritual. I don't think communication is spiritual.
You think communication is spiritual?
No, no. I think it's very practical. It's a learned art that you have to learn.
Everything comes from a world view.
What does that mean? There are people.
Even when you're communicating.
There are people who are not in the church culture who would do better at communicating than people in the church world.
Why would you say better at communicating?
Because you're thinking the people who have the spiritual part know how to do that.
You say...
That's what I'm saying.
No, I still wouldn't say better in communicating. Your communication comes from what you believe.
Their communication...
Say, understanding. Here's my understanding. We're swingers.
Uh-huh.
That's communicating.
Uh-huh.
How is that better? That's just communicating.
No, that's effective communication.
That's effective?
Yes, you have communicated what is important to you. I've heard you. You've communicated what is important to me. I've heard you.
If you want to call that better communication.
That's effective communication. You're talking about choices. I'm talking about the ability to communicate.
You're talking about communication in general.
Say it again.
You're talking about communication.
Right.
Between the spouses.
Right. We're not talking about the content of what they're communicating
about.
What
you want.
Right.
Right. That's important, absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think that's spiritual, right? I think that there's the homeboy that we just said, like, dude, you done stepped out twice. You missed a lot of checkpoints before you got to that point, right? He has all the spiritual language.
Why he missed the checkpoints?
I don't know why he missed the checkpoints.
I think it has to do with his worldview.
You think so?
Heck yeah.
That he didn't get no pizza. Oh, because he didn't get no chicken,
dude.
That's what it was.
You don't look for certain things if you believe that you know you could just get whatever you want.
When you counsel people, they come to you and they say, "Here is the situation."
Mm-hmm.
Do you just say, "You know what? Well, here's the God factor. Do that and stop talking to me."
No. When it comes to relationships, I'm only counseling Christians.
No, that's not.
Say it again.
When it comes to relationships, I'm only counseling
Christians. I know. I'm talking about Christians.
That, but so, he's asking, how do you communicate that with your Christian
couples?
The God factor. Yeah, how did they get to that?
So how do you break that down as far as application and the how to do it?
All the stuff that I said here today is the stuff that I say to them. When you talk about communication, I do tell them about communication. How, you know, your nonverbal, your tone, how all that plays a part,
right.
And how you do have to be able to be openly, you have to be able to communicate openly to your spouse.
Right.
You can't be hiding anything.
Absolutely.
And all of that hints to a reason of why you shouldn't do that.
I get that.
So it all connects.
I get that.
So yeah, that's
what I said. That's basic skills of learning.
You're saying that's basic skills of communication.
That's what I'm saying. That's not a spiritual practice.
It's not
practice.
A spiritual level, but that's a basic level of communication.
I think you got to get to the level of the layers.
I just don't see how, when you said this guy missed the checkpoints, I'm saying there's
Do you think he missed the checkpoints?
You said that. I said.
I know. I'm asking for his opinion.
If there's checkpoints that he missed, why did he miss the checkpoints?
Because he's.
Because he was horny. And he wanted something outside of his marriage.
Did he want something outside of his marriage or something from his wife that his wife wasn't giving him?
He wanted something outside of his marriage that he felt was more exciting.
He said she wasn't cooking for him. She wasn't paying him no attention.
That's why he did what he did, Mr. Fudgesicle. That's why he did what he did.
They got married with their own worldview. Mr. Checkpoint.
Well, his checkpoint was, I got married as a virgin.
How do you know that, though?
He got married as a virgin.
You got, no, I'm saying, like I said, was he a professing Christian?
Yes.
Yes, he was.
Yes.
Okay.
Who saved himself from marriage.
That's what he did.
Because of Jesus.
Because, yes, that's what he said.
Yes.
So that was his mindset?
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
She did too. Muslim. She
so
said
now, she was so, the same. Yes, yeah. Correct. But even being a Christian, why wasn't that part of the conversation that we heard in the clip?
Which,
because even though you're just a Christian, that doesn't mean
no, no,
that
no. I'm not talking about these guys. I'm talking about Mr. Checkpoint.
No, that's what I was talking about. That.
Yeah, no,
I was
no.
He's talking about Mr. Checkpoint.
I'm talking about Mr. Checkpoint.
Yes. Okay. So I don't know
because they're Christians.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, because they're Christians.
I don't know.
And their intentions when they got married were spiritual.
Okay.
Except he, you know, decided to do something different.
Is it knowledge important?
Absolutely.
Okay. So there's part of his, of course, his walk with God he didn't understand.
But I think
no. I agree with that.
Say that again?
Because remember,
part of his walk with God that he did not understand.
And he didn't have any male role models or figures to help him lead him along that way.
When it came to the sexual part, what was he thinking?
Right. I think he didn't know how to manage the sex part either, though.
He probably did it.
Because he also talked about his single life was the right hand of fellowship. So, and again, like, that's another level. I think
the Onan syndrome.
The who?
Onan, when he spilled his seed. It all relates back to the Bible.
No, but I think a part of that, getting back to the men, like there's like the man who's on the stage of receiving a whole lot of that. It's like celebrities. You get that level of fanfare, that energy thrown at you, it's going to spike up your drive a couple more notches. It's like when you go to the gym. You're pumping, you're getting the testosterone.
That's true.
Moving in your body, man. Right? There's a biological part that's going to happen.
Talk about a rager.
I have to release this. Boom. This has got to go somewhere. And I don't think sometimes in a relationship that's being communicated effectively.
Sometimes, sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think, let's go within the church world. You see a lot of dudes preaching that cloth. I don't think that they also know, like, look, you're going to, like, back to the our original book, The Sex Traps. She talked about how she would go to conferences. And listen, she was like, she was really turned on and needed to talk to her husband after she'd gone preaching and prophesied and all this other stuff. And there was little activities that her and her husband agreed to in their relationship while they were on, you know, traveling or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think dudes are aware of, listen, you're going to have to handle that and manage that. Or not just dude, the relationship, the couple, right? Yeah, the couple. And I think even on the flip side for the women, like, dude, you have to understand that, yes, you cannot be always on your wife all the time. Like, it's not a open sesame, there I go. She's carried kids. Like, in her case, she carried 3 kids. You know, women compartmentalized, so it's like, whatever I was thinking about at 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm probably thinking about it at 10 o'clock at night.
True.
What are you doing?
No, I'm looking.
I think the two have to, yes, communicate effectively.
Communication is key.
But I do think when them checkpoints happen, it's like, yo, no. That's, you got to pull that in there. Mm-hmm. And like you said, some dudes like, yo, you got to grow up a little bit there.
Got to grow up.
It may not go down for you tonight. You may get it tomorrow, but that's okay, right?
That comes with application.
What?
That comes with reading and application. As a Christian, reading the scripture and understanding what the scripture says.
I was thinking about what you said. My brother said that he would go read the Bible.
No, that's ridiculous.
Man.
Why is that ridiculous?
No, that's stupid.
When his wife was not, you know, in the mood, and he would go read the scriptures.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say something else.
No, dummy.
I'm going to use the Bible to tell you why you should lay down and spread your legs.
No, I'm talking about. No.
I know what you're saying, dummy.
Somebody said a long time ago when we were kids.
Yeah, I remember.
About reading the Bible and masturbation. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
does your sex drive go down with age?
I think it goes up. I think so. Yeah. Again, that's biology. Like,
I think it goes up.
I think dudes are not educated.
I think it goes up, but I think it all depends on how the person feels internally. Like, if you're unhealthy, adult and you're older, but you're still remaining healthy, you're taking care of yourself, your sex drive is going to go up as you get older because you're taking care of yourself.
So how do things change for you? If you're saying you get the sex drive goes up when you get older, you said you don't want it as much as your spouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Explain that to
me. That's not what it was like in high school.
Because I like my sleep.
What?
then I like to go to sleep.
So how do you fight your sex drive when you want to go?
So you have a sleep drive and a sex drive. Drive wins.
I'm saying that if I'm going to sleep,
what time do you go to bed?
I just go to sleep.
What does that mean? What
I lay down at the same time every night.
Which is what time?
At like 9 o'clock, 9:30. That's it.
Well, don't.
It's become a routine. I have a routine that I've been following for years. Because I have a routine that I've been following for years, it doesn't really affect me. I'm just used to it now because I have the same routine over and over and over again.
But so how does that reverse though? Since your wife is the man in the relationship.
She's not the man.
I'm
the man.
Do you respond to
that? I'm definitely the man.
How do you respond to that?
She already knows that.
How do you respond to that?
Well,
because it's reverse. She's saying, dude, I'm ready 7 days a week, but you want to go to bed.
Then I go to sleep. So if she comes downstairs before I go to bed, then we have sex.
But is do you understand what I'm saying?
I get it. That doesn't mean
that's the same thing. How do you meet her where she's at?
No, you don't understand.
I do understand.
There you go. If
what am I not saying that he's not understanding?
Before I go to bed.
See, before
we're going to have sex.
Wait, Robbie, that's communication.
That's communication. And she knows that.
That's her accepting that.
And she knows that. This has already been made clear in our relationship.
Here's what I'm saying.
In our relationship, that's already been made clear.
What we're saying is that dudes are dealing with that same. Because he said
just dudes, because it's not just dudes.
Okay, we got that. The 1%. Okay, you're the 1%. You're part of the 1%.
Possibly 5%.
Possibly 5%.
No, there's more.
But he said that women are treating it like a chore. Do you think that's more of like a chore?
No, it's not a chore. I love having sex with my wife.
As long as it
happens before I go to bed. I absolutely love it. Enjoy every part of it.
I get, but whenever. And she's okay with it.
Of course.
Okay, that's a big part.
It's called communication.
I said
that's very practical, Robbie.
I know. I agree. I agree. As long as she's okay.
As long as she's okay.
I just want dudes who need
the marriage bed is on the file.
Listen, I know a lot of brothers who are struggling in this, who've been married for some years
because they didn't communicate with their spouse.
Well, I mean, if that's what it is.
That's part of it.
Been married for years. No communication
about the sex bed.
What?
No communication about sex.
What are we talking about, though? She says, I'm just tired. You should have asked me before 9 o'clock.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
He's like, I just got off at 9.
Okay.
I worked this shift.
Still talk about it. Communicate.
I'm not happy with that.
Compromise.
No. That's when we get to the spiritual side. Compromise. How do you find a place of spiritual agreement?
What does Paul say in the Bible about sex and marriage? Unless you what? Mutually what?
Mutually agreement.
So we're mutually agreeing to doing
But there's a lot of couples that are not in mutual agreement.
But and that's something they have to figure out and talk about.
What are you talking about?
If you marry somebody who's in the army and they spend 6 months overseas, you're going to come to an agreement on what's going to happen.
There you go. I
hear you. You got somebody who's a cop and they got a third shift. You're going to make an agreement.
There you go. Fireman. Communicate. It all ties into that.
I'm just saying.
Do you?
Yes.
Do you hear us?
I would just add that I've recently heard some disturbing situations that hurt my heart.
You can't separate the communication part from the spiritual part. I think it has to go, because if you can get two people who communicate, and you know, if God is the one who created us, you can have any kind of communication, come up with any ideas on what you want to do outside of His will, it's going to fall apart.
So I talk a lot of singles. Should singles have an expectation going into marriage?
Are you asking the Christian? I'm
saying dating plus God equals questions. That's my question.
That's the whole point of the book. Yes, you should have expectations.
But why wouldn't they have expectations?
I am asking, what's a realistic expectation as it relates to sex in that part?
Oh, okay. As it relates to sex. Well, that's going to come down to them communicating with the spouse.
I think it comes down to that.
I'll use myself for example. Since we're using ourselves for
I'm asking this because I have a lot of single followers.
So when I first got married, I went into a relationship thinking that I was gonna have sex all the time because with all the girls I was sleeping with,
that
was gonna be the same thing.
My original point.
So it didn't start changing until I started communicating with my wife and letting her know how I was seeing things and why I was doing certain things. And the more we communicated, the more we allowed God.
So you stop treating your wife like your girlfriend.
Exactly. But that happened because we started communicating more about our sex life and what we
wanted. Why did you say that in the beginning? You made me sound like I was an idiot. No, because, didn't know what I was saying.
Because you were talking.
I agree. I was a fellow whoremonger as well. You didn't say it. You should have said it then. I, too, was a whoremonger. Whoremonger.
Who was?
You.
I don't have to say that then. You should have said it now.
You should have said it then. You was tapping on my freeness. Yeah.
I would say there's two levels to the expectation. There's a general expectation that you have because of your worldview. Mm. And then there's a more specific expectation that you should have after, because nobody's like, I met you today and then we get married tomorrow.
Yeah.
So after having conversations with the person that you're with, you can get a level of expectation. Like if you're talking about what is our finances going to look like in the future, what are our ideas about kids? That should be part of the conversation, too. Yeah.
So you said part of your worldview, right?
Yeah.
So, like, so should Christians have a worldview of marriage? If we're supposed to be set apart from the world,
yes,
and we're new creatures, so our way of thinking has to be different, should we go into a relationship with a worldview of things?
Our worldview as Christians is that the world needs Jesus. So that's our worldview. So worldview.
I'm talking about as far as sex with our spouses.
We should not have a carnal view. We should have a spiritual view.
What's the spiritual view?
There you go.
What's the spiritual view?
Now break that down. We spent the whole time talking about what the spiritual view is.
We're not outside of the disciple part.
The spiritual view is that marriage is only in the confines of marriage.
There you go.
I got that.
Right? And
so
that it should be,
you mean that sex is in the confines of marriage.
Sex is only in the confines of marriage. Correct. It should be enjoyed equally by both.
By both spouses.
Gotcha.
What else is there?
No, I'm saying you gave the whole disciple message earlier. So I was just trying to get
disciples and semen. Nice.
Hey, that's a good one. Disciples and semen.
Yeah.
That's a good series.
No, this is good. I think this I pray that there's been men who are able to glean from this. I think you know, he asked it obviously from a carnal, a world point of view.
Mm-hmm.
We know that relationships are not solely built on sex. However, I think within Christendom, as we said, there's not a lot of communication now within marriage. How do we manage this part, mm-hmm. right? Before you got married, it was just, what we got was better married in the burn, and then you go get married, and then nobody ever talks about anything ever again. That was it. And so, you know, we're not getting into what you need to be doing, what you shouldn't be doing within your bedroom. We're just talking about...
Use ice cubes.
The
I see his work, by the way.
The I don't know. Yep, he's a Trump supporter. So,
what? No,
Ice Cube.
I get what you're saying. I get it.
You know what I mean? But no, I think that's cool. I think I got some information from this. I think to Duvall's point, yes, sex is important. That you have to communicate that in the relationship. You got to, right? Women, they're immediately thinking, well, it's not my top reason why I'm getting married, you know, is to do that. It's on the list. But I'm looking for security. I'm looking for a good father to my child. I'm looking for financial stability, emotional support.
Absolutely.
And then I'm looking to have sex.
Looking for purpose.
Men.
It's not the top reason, but it is high up there. I don't know why people act like it's not.
Yeah, absolutely.
Indeed.
All right, folks, until the next time, we'll catch you on the next one.
Catch you on a flippity flip.
Peace.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Three Kings Podcast. Make sure to follow us on all social media platforms at Three Kings Podcast or visit us on the web at his3kings.com. Until next time, let a king be a king. Peace.